Hello, hello everyone. Welcome to Meet the Shoe, Shackle History Unleashed. I am Sade.
I'm Nina.
And yes, hello guys. Today we're going to talk about the verdict. A couple officers from Mississippi. So six Mississippi officers are convicted by federal court, which they do have state charges from what I see, Danina.
So and they have to do both.
They have to do both, but they tortured two black men.
Yeah, can you describe some of the things that they did to, and was this about because they were dating a white woman or
I think it's, I think it's woman? Probably was racially motivated in a way, because from what I'm feeling like, and they did not mention that in court.
Okay.
But the two young men that were that this happened to, they were living, well, neighbors reported they were living with a white woman, and they right. thought it was suspicious.
And that's criminal in the state of Mississippi.
Girl, right. So, but yeah, you would, it's a doubt, it's a southern
out
state.
Out of all the things right. to report, that you recall to report that two black men were living with a white woman.
And it's suspicious activity, they said.
And they were minding their business.
Minding their business, taking care of this young lady.
Yeah. Even if they were going together.
Right.
I mean, is that a crime? That to me shows the boredness of people.
Mm-hmm.
And just, they're so bored, they think in their mind, let me do something, let me cause and stir up some drama or some trouble.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what the world has come mm-hmm. to. Like, mm-hmm. really.
So Mr. Jenkins and his friend were staying there.
Okay.
And just temporarily staying there. And all of a sudden, with no probable cause at all,
right,
six officers go and bombard and knock down the door of this house.
Yep.
Six.
Yeah.
Handcuffed and arrested the men.
Six on two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kicked them, beat them,
yeah.
bombarded them with racial slurs.
Yeah.
Forced them to strip naked,
yep.
assaulted them with a variety of objects, yep. sexual assault,
yep.
tased them 17 times apiece.
Put gun in their mouth.
Put guns in their mouth. So he did a dry fire a couple times in the man's mouth.
Yep.
And the last time.
What is a dry fire for people that
it's like know. You take out, it's like Russian roulette, playing Russian roulette. You just shoot the gun, you take the, you think you took out all the bullets and shoot the gun and scare him to death. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
But I think it was the last shot fired in his mouth.
Yep.
It pierced his tongue.
And during the him shooting him, mm-hmm. he still washboard him.
Yeah.
And
what is washboard? I don't know what's washboard. Could you explain to us what's washboard?
So washboard is like you holding me by my feet and I'm like this and water is gushing down on my face. If I turn this way, I can't get away from the water. If I turn that way, I can't get away from the water. So I'm drowning. I'm self-drowning as you're holding me, my feet up in the air or my body purposely to drown me, to put water down my nose, my eyes, and my mouth. To where I can't breathe, I can't, you know, the water's going over my face, I can't move. They washboard them, threw eggs on them, stuffed eggs down their mouth, stuffed things down their mouth, dildos down their mouth, sticking things up their butt. Like, these men made it through all that self-torture.
Yeah.
And what year was this about? This last year, right?
Yeah, I'm surprised they even they lived through it, because they said they're called the Goon Squad.
Yeah,
a bunch of white officers in Jackson, Mississippi area.
Yeah,
has their own gang.
Yeah,
the Goon Squad. You might as well put sheets over your head and say you are the Ku Klux Klan Squad, basically, because the heinous crime that y'all endured on. Not only those two, they have done it to other people as well.
Yeah.
Other people came out complaining about them torturing them. Even a white man, there was a white man they tortured as well. If I'm not mistaken, I think they may have killed that man. I'm not 100% sure. But it's sad to say that it's like
they talked, some of the officers turned over and saying that turned over to some text messages. They turned over the text messages that got them convicted, right?
One of the officers felt guilty about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh my God. Mm. It's
so they said that six former officers pled guilty in August. So they didn't buck the system.
No.
I mean, how could they? Could they prove that the guy had a gunshot wound in his mouth?
Yeah, they couldn't.
And then there was reports, you know, that went in the system that they were called to this house. See, a lot of the things that the officers been getting away with, especially being down south, is that they could wash away a lot of the crimes, a lot of the corruption. They could wash mm-hmm. it away because it was, majority of the time it was state. So it's a family member, it's a friend, it's a family mm-hmm. of a friend, know somebody in the system to wash things away, hide and tuck stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now they have it a system to where every single call, even all the way is up to up north, every mm-hmm. call that comes in the system can be located. No more hiding anything, right?
Right.
So even though things still get hidden, we're not saying that, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Things still get washed away and tucked, but this didn't, thank God.
No. Thank
you. And yeah. Being as though now, here's another thing that we rarely come across, and it happens though. You notice how when people when corruption is in the system
mm-hmm.
and the family sue.
Right.
The family sue and they get awarded, you know, a certain amount of money, right?
Yes.
In this case, which is usually unheard of, that they survived the heinous acts that happened to them. What do you think, especially being as though these guys are sentenced to the 40 years, right? What do you think that the state of Mississippi is going to award these guys for the torture that they had to overcome?
I'm not sure, but there's not amount of money, I don't care how big it is, to erase their mind of that torture.
Yeah, because that's still gonna pop up. That's a mental,
yes, that's so mental
game that's gonna stay strained for.
Yeah,
that's gonna stay strained for. Yeah, that was. I mean, even
they're gonna need counseling, a lot of counseling, you know.
Even but look at this. Even with the counseling, right? Who's to say that at times they go to Target, go to Walmart, you're gonna be terrified to even be approached.
Oh yeah,
pulled over by the police.
Yes,
you know, any encounter PTSD. With the police,
they gonna have PTSD for sure. Traumatic, yeah. Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Yeah.
Every time you see a police, you're gonna be like scared. And it's sad. They will have to move out of that state, I think, to feel some type of relief and a little well-being for themselves. I would just leave because...
Do you think that, okay, even with leaving, I mean, I'm glad they're alive and they're glad that they're alive as well. But do you think that even with leaving the state... Don't you feel like the families, because it's stated in the article that the family members were crying and they were upset and mm-hmm. how are you upset? What are you crying for? Your family member committed a heinous act.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I mean, you almost feel like, how dare you cry? What are you crying about?
Right. What's yeah. I don't know why they were crying, but the guy Deadman. One of the main, they said the leader of the pack.
Yeah.
Christian Deadman. He's only uh-huh. 29 years old, and he was doing this.
So that's what shocked me about the judge, Tom Lee, right? One thing that I do like that he did is that by him putting down the harsh sentence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say harsh, of course, we would want him to get sentenced to more, but this is Mississippi we're talking about. This is barely ever even heard of, right?
Right.
That there's been more things to come that, you know, like with the guy that the son and the friend and the dad chased the guy down and yes. killed him, right?
Mm-hmm.
These things are happening now because of that, right?
Right.
And there's been other cases where they've gotten justice in the state of Mississippi, right? But even with that, right, the boy is young. That's what I like that the judge said. You didn't even go through or witness any of the racism that really has been embedded in the time of when the judge was growing up.
Right.
In mm-hmm. our time, even for our age, you know, mm-hmm. anyone that's in their 40s, 50s, years.
And we didn't endure all that. We didn't see all that.
We didn't even see that. We didn't mm-hmm. even see that. We witnessed some racism things.
Yeah, but not torture.
We're
and
We're not. We didn't.
The Willie Lynch era, we didn't witness none of that.
That 29-year-old had to be fascinated with that type of era.
Mm-hmm.
Also had to be taught in his house. So his family should be embarrassed because that was learned behavior.
Oh, yeah.
In his household. Mm-hmm. There's nothing about that, what he done. Washboarding, I really had to really do the research and find out what that was.
No, what's really bad, you sexually assault. You're the main one sexually assaulting them. What? Putting stuff up in their butts and never know. You never know if he even, I can imagine the things he was doing. And the judge said he needs to take mental health and sexual classes.
Mm-hmm. Who, the dead men?
All of them need to take sex classes.
Oh yeah, they do. Cause see, they have a fascination with, what is it called? S&M?
Bondage.
You know, sex there into that, and that's deep. And then to be the police officer, why did you think to do that? What in your mind, what in your brain you watching and what you doing? They need to dig a little deeper and see what other crimes they've committed that you thought, what were you riding around doing with a dildo? Where did a dildo come from? You guys are on a house call.
He said sodomy, What
was you doing with a dildo in the car?
I'm trying to hope it wasn't a dildo in the car. I'm hoping the dildo was in the lady's room.
Oh, wherever it was, what made you mentally? You're on duty. You get what I'm saying?
You're supposed to be
in protect mode. And even though they were in racial discrimination and, you know, disrespect, all that, I could go on and on, even though they were in that mode, right? What's going on inside of you that you thought to grab the dildo if it was in her house? Because you weren't supposed to be snooping around her house anyway.
But a couple of the officers did say they were sexually molested as children.
Okay. Like the judge said, you hid behind the badge of evil because you were disrespected by your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Prayer Warrior. How y'all doing? Black Bottom Breed. What's up, y'all? Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah.
He said, I haven't been getting the notifications over the past few weeks. When I got them, the live will be already over. Oh, sorry. Oh,
sorry.
You ain't hitting that.
I feel like that by the judge doing that in Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
it's gonna really continue to make all the other southern states, because usually it happens up north too. We're not saying that, even though we're in the north, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna prompt the judges to really pay attention. Like, why, as a younger, new generation person?
Yes.
Would you even
doing things like this?
And then the dummies behind them, the other five officers that were older than him, going right along with it. Like, what were you guys discussing on a daily basis?
Old freaks.
Yeah. But I mean, okay, old freaks, right? But did they really in their mind think that they weren't gonna never get caught though?
But you know what, Danina? They've been doing it for years. That's the whole thing. The only reason I think they got caught is because that boy got shot in the mouth by mistake.
Yeah. Right. By mistake, yeah. So it grazed his tongue, right?
Yeah, right. It went through his tongue and out his jaw.
Out his jaw, yeah. Okay. Thank you, mm-hmm. Jesus. Man, that's torture.
So yeah.
So just think of this. Like, I couldn't even imagine that. You're getting things stuck in your mouth. You're getting beat to death. You're turning upside down. They've got you turned upside down. They're washboarding you, right? They're putting stuff and food, you know, like eggs on you and down your mouth. And then they're putting dildo. I mean, I just, the mind of an evil person, the evil being. When we do things in life, right, sometimes when you get upset, you might whoop somebody. You might bust them in the head.
Yeah.
Whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your mind isn't going that far. Then an average person.
You're going to feel guilty. You're going to feel bad about the first little hit.
Yeah.
If you have a conscience, if you like got a heart, if you're not, they had black holes in their heart. That's it.
Yeah, definitely.
Man, that's crazy. Oh, Mississippi, my state, is always the news for foolishness.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mississippi.
Well, not always, though, Jeff. We're not
girl,
always.
A lot.
But, you know, I have, you know, my roots are there in Mississippi. And so, you know where they say your roots are. You, that you know, some things are embedded in you naturally, right?
Right. But, so, yes. So, okay, Jeff, how much time does an inmate do in the prison system there? Is it half the time, two-thirds of the time? Because this guy, the ring leader, got 40 years.
Right. So, yeah, how much time would he do?
A couple got 17 years and 25 or something like that. I think the less charge is 17 years.
17. Okay. So that
He was the whistleblower. He the one turned in all the texts. Okay. About what happened, and
okay.
He wanted less time because he was sexually molested as a kid. He didn't have two parents in his home as he grew up. His father did a lot of sex acts to him all the way up to the age of 8 years old until the state took him from the father.
Right, and he said he don't remember nothing before.
He don't remember nothing past before eight years old.
Right, okay. So that's why they gave him a lenient sentence.
Yes.
Okay.
He said two-thirds of the time. Oh, that's still a lot. 80%.
Yeah.
Oh, but you know it's federal too, so.
Oh, well, federal, you got to do 65%.
Okay.
Yeah, 65%.
Oh, 40 years you do.
Mm-hmm. 40 years probably do 28
years?
Yeah.
He'll still be young.
Yeah.
He'll be 60, 50 yeah. something years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 28, definitely.
Yep. The trauma this victims had to endure. They endured a lot of trauma, you guys. It's really sad. And they're saying there's more officers.
Charges
for other officers, too. I'm assuming probably the backup officers or, you know, like the sergeant probably was on duty. He probably didn't come to the scene, or he might have come to the scene and said, okay, you got to clean this up. You know, anything. Right. So
yeah,
a lot
the
of
ones that didn't do the reports, they're being charged too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
See? Oh my goodness. This
stuff. What did I say? Sticking it under the rug, covering it up.
You know?
When they're doing everything to make sure that nobody gets convicted, because you know as soon as you leave off the scene, what and how it's gonna be. And then whoever wrote the case up, right? If there was things missing in it, they can be charged.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, whatever missing information that was
misleading, falsified information.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so this the next story is about the guy you want to tell them about. That was
My God, serial killer Thomas Creech.
Uh huh.
He's a serial killer. He killed 5 people across 3 states.
Okay.
He's been in prison for a half a century already, like 1980s.
Okay.
They just bring him up for death row.
Well, that usually takes more than 20 years.
Girl, he been in that 50.
I'm just saying.
Y'all might as well let this man go ahead and live out the rest of his life.
They usually take at least a minimum of 20 years before they execute.
Right.
Okay.
Well, this young man, well, he's older. He's 70 years old now.
Okay.
And they sent he was took ate his last meal and put him on a gurney and attempted to execute him.
By what?
Lethal injection.
Okay.
Guess what? It didn't work.
It
Girl, this man got skin like leather because they couldn't get a vein. They tried veins in his wrists, his hands, his even to his ankles. They poked him 8 different times to try and
lethal
kill that
injection.
man. Yeah. And every time he looked at, because I guess your family is on one side and the victim's family on the other side in the
Right.
room. And they said he looked over and waved at him and said, "I love you, I'm sorry," stuff like that, and kept on waving at him. And every time they poke him, the doctors kept on going in and out of the room to figure out how they gonna do this. And I said, "That ain't nothing but God. God don't want that man to die.
It just wasn't his time to go.
It was his time to go." So they called it. He went in. It took them what from 10 o'clock to 10:40. They finally called it off at 10:40 and said, "You know what? He not dying today. I'm sorry, y'all." And it made everybody go home. That man was tortured. Now that you talk about torture too, shit.
Right.
I would
So
have been
what? So
pulled
what?
my pants.
From my understanding, when a person is put to execution and they don't die, right? In some instances, back in the day, I don't know if, as of recent, they release you because, like you said, you're already mentally tortured, you're already physically tortured. Your heart has gone through so much traumatic, trauma. Always, that's why
Wow.
it takes at least 20 years, right? For them to put you to death
Bring you
because
up.
they want to mentally torture you. They want to mentally traumatize you, right? And they give you all this time to see if you exhaust every remedy to be released. If you got every chance to remember Tookie, right?
Yes, Tukey. Oh my
Yeah,
God, everybody.
they took all that time to execute him because they give you all the opportunities to prove your innocence, right? So you're already under a self torture, right? Man can't torture you no further than that after the physical, right? What else can you do, right? So you're already mentally tortured at first, and then you're physically tortured when they try to execute you. Then they say that you just have to live out your days in the prison system.
Yeah,
They
so
stop releasing you. They stop releasing.
I'm assuming they were talking about, maybe choosing a firing squad, because that'd be the next step to
Yeah,
use.
but they
But...
but you don't get look, you don't get you only get one execution. You don't get five executions. You don't get you said they tried for 40 minutes. You don't they don't you don't get to do that. They you can't do it. Then you're trying to go against God, right? You're already doing that by even executing anyway,
Yeah,
right?
so
Supposed to do
yeah,
that
he
anyway.
count his.
All crimes are supposed to be forgiven, right?
Yeah, and he I guess he forgave himself, and he hoped everybody else forgave him because
Well,
he
he had to forgive him.
obviously.
He had to have forgiven himself, and God obviously did because he did
Yeah.
not die.
Yeah. Isn't
So,
that something?
like I said,
That was straight.
all
That.
crimes are forgiven. You barely forget when we commit a crime, we don't be forgiving ourselves though.
We don't forgive ourselves, right?
And
But
so,
that was divine intervention right there.
exactly, because I personally, if that was in his situation, I don't know. I can't imagine what I would like to talk to that man. Like, what was your
Was it
heart? That
thinking?
heart, I'm surprised that heart didn't really literally come out his chest onto the table, onto the gurney with him. Because just imagine somebody standing over you and they're trying to kill you. You can't do nothing. You're strapped down,
You
right?
strap down. Yes.
You got the Jesus hold on you, right? And you cannot move. You cannot help yourself. And somebody's about to kill you. Mentally, I don't know.
I would have been out my mind, girl. Look, they would have said, "Girl, just get on up and clean yourself off because you done shit it all over yourself."
You know he did. You know he did. They didn't say that part, but you know he did.
Oh my gosh. Well, there's another guy about 2 weeks prior to him, Kenneth Smith.
Okay.
He was in Idaho prison.
Okay.
And his execution was, how was he? 73 years old.
Okay.
And he killed a lot of people, you know. Nope, not Kenneth Smith. I'm sorry. We just talked about Kenneth Smith. Women, nope. It's Kenneth Smith. Mm-hmm. Well, his method of execution was the very first of nitrogen.
Okay. He didn't make it, though. He died, right?
He's in Alabama. He didn't make it.
Okay.
He was 58 years old and pronounced dead at 8:25 p.m. They say he just tried to hold his breath. He finally started taking little small breaths. They could see his body just convulsing.
I couldn't watch that. I wouldn't. I'm going to sit there and watch somebody die, just suffer. Mm-mm. And then they're shaking, they're jumping, and all of that. No, I don't want to see that.
Yeah. So,
Alabama
has the first nitrogen capital punishment.
And so, the nitrogen, how long does that take to affect?
They said a couple minutes. It don't take long. It don't take long at all.
So they do it to where it's not torture, or they
put, I guess, it's a gas, like a gas mask, from what I'm hearing.
So you're suffocating.
Suffocating them, yeah. A lot of people that watched it, they called it a cruel experimental process. Because, he was the first one.
And you know, this is, I'm just trying to make light of the situation a little bit. You know how when you was little, mm-hmm. you're playing with your friends or your cousins usually in the projects, right?
Right.
They put the two mattresses on top of you and they say, and each kid gets on each corner of the mattresses.
The ends, right? Yes.
And you can't breathe.
Baby.
You're about to die. And then I've had it to where my cousins, they were so cruel, the boys, they would jump on me. Not realizing you're killing me.
Right.
And then when you come out the when you come out of the mattress,
your ass can't breathe.
You start screaming and fighting everybody and chasing them.
Yeah.
And you're screaming and crying. Imagine that.
No, imagine one of your bigger cousins sitting on your stomach. Just sitting on you. Big. Yeah, you
can't breathe.
You can't breathe in your stomach and chest.
This is the closest thing that we could get to what those people are what will have went through being on death row, right? When it's their time, right, for their judgment mm-hmm. day. I don't want that. Right there is enough to make you never do nothing wrong.
I
just, like, that just was, you know, a shock, you know, mm-hmm. a harsh reality of what I went through as a child.
The mattress.
No, suffocation. Or somebody tripped you. Constantly choking you.
Your mom would be like, why is you between the mattresses?
No way, and you can't breathe.
No, you can't.
Honey, oh man. That's
Once you come up out of it, you'd be so glad to take a breath.
Yeah, exactly. That's no fun.
It is not.
In the water too long. Look, we all got some memories of not.
Yes, of something.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Being under the water too long and trying to hurry up and swim to the top.
Yes.
Yeah.
Panicking.
Yes. And that's what I'm saying. Like, all these things that seem like all these things that you start imagining in your mind, like the stuff that the people went through.
Right. You'd be like,
You know what? God was on that man's side.
Yes, he was.
To the victims that passed away. Right, that man deserved another chance. That's what God says. So, right,
mm-hmm.
and he's deserving to be here for some reason.
For some reason,
the lesson was for us to cover him on this podcast today.
Mm-hmm.
And said that the other guy, you know, he got sent off with the Lord. You know, it was his time.
Yeah, it was.
And with the lesson in that within itself would be to when you think before you committing a crime, especially, you know, you just lose it. Sometimes people that are on death row, I can't say that that they may have had a reason of why they committed a crime. It made me think of this woman. We'll close out with this. There was a woman that was on death row. She was in Scotland. She was the oldest. She had surpassed every, she was the longest inmate.
Yeah.
She'd been there since 1979 or 70 something, right? She got mad at somebody. She went over there to set fire to the house, not knowing it was an orphanage. Mm. And that she burnt up the whole house with the kids in it. And the people, yeah. You thought you was burning up one person.
You, a lot of
burnt
kids.
Up a whole house. She burnt up 8 people. And majority of them was kids. They thought that she was the worst person in the world. And like I said, I'm not the worst person. Just my one act of anger. I was mad at an adult.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I got mad at an adult and I set fire to that house and I never got to see the world. I never got to see, she never got to see the world again. She's never done nothing. But she was a young girl when it happened. She was like 14, but maybe 16, you know, between 14 and 16 when she did it. But just think. And then she was 60, I think.
When they talk, she...
She, when she was telling this conversation, when I was watching her on the ID channel, right?
Right.
She was 60 years old. She had been in jail since she was 16, 14, 16, something like that. Maybe the juvenile up until she was 16. And then she had been in an adult prison since she was 16. So, yeah. And she said that she would never be released.
Did they execute her or they decided?
She's going to get executed. She's fighting it because, and she, and they're more on her side now versus then. They was like, no.
Yeah.
So she had been constantly fighting to be released. So then she stopped trying to fight to be released. She started fighting to just take the execution off of her.
Yeah, exactly. So she
they
just
asked her, was she closer to being, she said, well, they haven't did it yet. And they keep pushing it off.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't ever. They asked, do you ever dream about the day of getting out? She said, I won't get out. I've let that go a long time ago. I'll never get out, but I didn't want to be executed.
Right.
She said, everybody's died in her family. She never had an opportunity to have kids, so she don't got no kids.
Right.
Everyone in her family has died. Maybe she says, maybe she got a niece or something or two, but they don't want nothing to do with her. You know, they think she's a horrible person. She said, everybody that communicates with her is people that she done time with or the prison ministry.
Wow.
I mean, I know just from doing time, right?
Yeah.
It's very hard if you don't have somebody.
It is. About you.
Just being realistic, right? And it ain't even about being transparent. It's just being realistic as a human. The human body, what did they say we need? Like 17 hugs a day. And that's I'm laughing because I'm like, you don't need you to be touching on me like 17 times, right? But when you mentally think about it, especially when you have a significant other,
you want those hugs.
You ain't stopping them.
No.
Right? No. And if your kids, you know, your clients, your niece, your nephew, you know, us, grandbaby or something like that, right?
Your hug.
Even if your children, if they give you a hug, you do it feel good inside.
Yes, you do.
I don't care. Well, you know, even if it's like, you know, my player partner, you know, that one, you know, the dudes do the one hug and, you know, somebody being concerned about you. That's my point of it, right?
Yes.
And to just be locked up and nobody not care about you.
Yeah.
Airmail is a mental game
that a person will always lose in prison.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. I just think that there would be more and more people like these Love After Lockup shows and After Lockup, you know, people being off death row or making it out and all of that. It is always good to have a support system.
It is. You have to have a support system.
You can't buy one, though. It's a person has to really, people have to really, you as a person or your story really has to resonate with people for you to even get that support.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've seen to where people didn't get a phone. They sold their phone time.
Yeah. Sold their phone time.
They didn't have anybody to call. They prayed for you to find them some a mate,
any or a pen pal, type. Yeah, or like they will more likely go find a what's that, friend of friend, some of those programs, pen pal, Mika's, something like that. You know what I'm saying? Where people will people from the outside Christian programs will come in and buddy up with an inmate. You know, and it's like they hold on to those people, those friendships, because they don't have nobody else.
Right.
It's sad, but yeah. Support your people.
If support your people in prison.
Send them a card, send them a letter, something. You know what I'm saying? Yes, always, it's always uplifting.
Oh, do something for their children.
Yeah. Yeah. Go do something for their kids. Yeah.
Do something, make them smile on a daily basis, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Well, y'all, that concludes Wednesday edition. We will see y'all Friday. Thanks for tuning in to Meet the Thank-